Hello everyone, welcome to On the Regular. We are pouring unprecedented capital into artificial intelligence systems, yet why does the measurable reality of our daily work remain so stubbornly unchanged despite the massive spending and constant promises? Imagine a room filled with humming servers, hot air rising from black boxes, trillions of dollars flowing into concrete bunkers across the country. The lights are on, but the productivity is dark. Goldman Sachs declared that AI investment spending had basically zero contribution to U.S. GDP growth last year, yet Wall Street buzzes with excitement, fueled by a narrative that this spending props up the economy. Leaders even cited this argument against regulations. We are buying shovels and counting them as crops in the ledger. But no harvest is appearing to feed the people. This isn't a glitch in the code. It is a flaw in the mirror we use to see our own progress. The disconnect begins with how we count the cost of the machine itself. A significant portion of this spending stems from imported semiconductor hardware, inflating investment figures without domestic value add. Katsis explained that much of the equipment powering AI is imported, meaning importing chips and hardware offsets those investments in GDP calculations. He noted explicitly that a lot of the AI investment adds to Taiwanese GDP and Korean GDP, but not really that much to US GDP. Consequently, while venture capitalists believe AI developments will achieve magnitude productivity improvements, the money spent on foreign hardware leaves the domestic ledger largely unchanged. The physical assets exist, but the financial record treats them differently than domestically produced goods. But hardware is only half the story. The timing of the return matters just as much. There is a critical lag between chip purchases and output realization that current metrics fail to capture. Joseph Briggs told the Washington Post that the intuitive story prevented analysts from digging deeper into what was happening regarding economic impacts. This misreporting obscures the reality where nearly 6,000 executives found no impact on employment or productivity despite active usage. Specifically, while 70% of firms actively used AI, about 80% reported no impact. Economists at the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis similarly estimated that AI-related investments made up 39% of GDP growth in the third quarter of 2025. But the U.S., the Bureau of Economic Analysis, classifies this infrastructure as capital stock rather than productivity gains. The spending is recorded, yet the efficiency remains elusive. This creates a paradox where trillions flow into data centers without registering as economic progress. Jason Furman claimed investments in information processing equipment accounted for 92% of GDP growth in the first half of the year, reinforcing the reliance on hardware metrics over outcome data. However, if the output does not materialize, the classification inflates the illusion of progress significantly. The economy records the purchase of the shovel, but not the hole it digs or the crop it grows. This discrepancy suggests that without new measurement frameworks, the industry will continue to spend billions while GDP remains stagnant and misreported by current standards. The same error happens inside the code when we trust a model's internal logic too much. You cannot trust a model's internal logic when that logic relies on default metrics like scikit-learn's Gini importance, which inherently biases continuous variables over discrete ones within the same column. Gini is a bad metric because high cardinality bias means it has an inherent bias towards continuous variables, and some of my features are discrete. Ilya Gerasimchuk detailed this discrepancy in his technical blog post regarding out-of-sample permutation feature importance for random forest optimization. He noted that standard random forest ensemble methods specifically struggle in high-dimensional data spaces because they randomly pick correlated features at each split, dividing importance between them rather than isolating the true driver. This structural flaw obscures causation, leaving organizations to invest in infrastructure that appears valuable but ultimately delivers statistical noise instead of actionable insight. The danger becomes quantifiable when feature importance is calculated on training data rather than held out sets, creating a false sense of security. Regarding predictive power, Jarosinchuk discovered an out-of-sample area under the ROC curve, AUK, of 0.7566 was unrealistically good for predicting precise 5-minute Bitcoin price moves during his analysis timestamped 2026-02-20 at 15.08. Such a value implies the model ranks a winning window approximately 76% of the time, effectively beating virtually every financial institution in existence. Upon inspection, the seconds to settle feature was basically carrying the entire model, revealing a look-ahead bias rather than genuine predictive capability. The cleanup started immediately after he dropped about half of the features and replaced the polymarket feature with other relevant indicators to remove this contamination. This technical overfitting mirrors the broader economic fallacy, where capital allocation follows the complexity of the tool rather than the output gains. When engineers refactor features heavily and replace proxy models with combinations of other indicators, they are essentially correcting for measurement flaws that prioritize correlation over causation. If a model factory is refactored to use a domain-specific language for configuring the pipeline, it makes it easier for agents to autonomously discover and verify profitable trading strategies, but only if the validation protocol distinguishes between training data artifacts and real-world market signals. The critical three core steps of the OOS approach: train once, permute out-of-sample data, evaluate reduction in predictive power, are necessary to avoid the trap of Gini importance computed on training data. Ultimately, optimizing the code without fixing the measurement framework means you are merely polishing a mirror that reflects your own assumptions back at you. When high cardinality bias skews utility rankings, the resulting allocation decisions fund noise as if it were signal. This specific failure in machine learning pipelines suggests that macroeconomic efficiency metrics might be fundamentally suffering from similar blind spots regarding infrastructure spending versus actual output. The discrepancy between the model's perceived strength and its actual reliance on time-of-day data proves that without rigorous out-of-sample testing, you clearly cannot distinguish between a breakthrough and a glitch. But code is not the only thing that breaks when we scale too fast. Consider the specific breakdown points detailed in Hacker News thread ID 47386284, where founders describe the exact moment management layers begin fracture communication channels within their engineering departments. When teams expand from 10 to 50 employees, the fluid information exchange that defined early success evaporates, replaced by rigid silos that prevent real-time problem solving. Respondents like Henel note that with 5 people, everyone knows the tricks and who to ask if something goes wrong. But as headcount grows, undocumented tribal knowledge vanishes into the ether. This loss is not merely anecdotal. It represents a structural failure where the organization prioritizes adding bodies over maintaining the cognitive load required to understand the system architecture deeply. Hiring leaders who used to report to founders creates distance, causing executives to lose touch with people on the field. Y Combinator alumni responses within these discussions cite a critical loss of tacit knowledge during this expansion phase, often manifesting as deep resentment among early employees who feel sidelined by new hierarchies. Early stage generalists who could move fast and break things find themselves demoted when specialists are needed for scaling security and optimization, a hard pill to swallow for those defining the product initially. One contributor describes feeling ignored when new management arrived who did not know the industry or respect the people eating their own dog food. For years, this shift forces a difficult choice: retain generalists in architect roles where they bridge teams or let them go, creating internal friction that AI tools cannot simply automate away, because the issue is human alignment and cultural values rather than code execution speed. Some CEOs claim personal involvement in first 1000 hires to maintain culture, but this aspiration often fades as organizational leverage shifts toward managers who lack domain knowledge. Communication overhead scaling laws exceed linear growth rates in engineering teams, meaning efficiency drops faster than headcount rises, even with automation available. As P. Wagland points out regarding Grainer's growth model, organizations must fundamentally change operations every time they triple in size, yet many fail to adjust their reporting processes early enough to prevent collapse. You need structure and dedicated teams for customer experience and quality assurance, but dedicating time to ensure people talk across functions seems strange coming from a 15-person culture where everyone did everything. Charles Handy's frameworks on organizational culture suggest shifting from power to role culture, requiring explicit leadership adaptation to avoid the inefficiency of us versus them dynamics. Schumer's laws of existence mandate that product ideas do not exist unless documented, and engineering does not exist if it is not in code, highlighting how undocumented processes fail under pressure. Ultimately, the promise of artificial intelligence to bypass this friction ignores that the bottleneck is not computational speed, but the inability to codify human intuition before it dissolves into bureaucracy and silos prevent innovation. Jensen Huang stood before the audience at GTC while Nvidia stock performance surged, creating a stark contrast between market valuations and actual deployment rates of generative AI models in enterprise. The Q4 earnings report highlighted record data center revenue, fueling a narrative that investment is propelling the U.S. economy forward significantly despite operational realities on the ground. President Donald Trump has cited that argument as a reason the industry should not face state-level regulations regarding safety or labor standards. Specifically, yet Goldman Sachs reports AI added basically zero to U.S. economic growth last year, despite billions spent by major players in February 2026. This discrepancy reveals a trap where capital locks into hardware without immediate output gains, distorting how success is measured by Wall Street. Analysts who watch the chip sales rather than the actual productivity improvements realized within organizations today, according to the February 23 report published by Bruce Gill, Meta, Amazon, Google, OpenAI, and other tech companies spent billions last year investing in AI infrastructure that may not yield immediate returns on investment for shareholders. They are expected to spend even more, roughly $700 billion, this year on dozens of new data centers to train and run their advanced models efficiently. Across the globe, as reported in recent tech news cycles, this spending frenzy has kept Wall Street buzzing and fueled a narrative that all this investment is helping prop up the U.S. economy substantially over time. Microsoft Azure infrastructure spending exceeding projected ROI timelines fits this pattern where imported chips and hardware mean the AI investments are translating into U.S. GDP growth poorly compared to initial expectations raised by industry leaders. The physical reality of these centers demands energy, yet measurement frameworks prioritize the dollar flow over the kilowatt efficiency required to sustain them long term, without clear output justification for stakeholders. Even when your power goes down, your Wi-Fi won't, but data center reliability requires massive energy inputs tracked by agencies like the U.S. Energy Information Administration regarding national consumption trends. The data on power consumption by data centers suggests a heavy toll that infrastructure spending often obscures from quarterly earnings reports filed publicly by corporations. The 3 and 6 month PCE numbers are running well above target, indicating inflationary pressure at 3-47% that accompanies such massive fiscal impulses without corresponding productivity spikes in the sector recently during 2025. While the One Big Beautiful Bill Act shifts Q4 2025 spending to Q1 2026, the underlying efficiency of the AI build-out remains questionable for economists analyzing the data closely over time. Imported chips and hardware mean the AI investments are translating into US GDP growth less effectively than the stock market suggests, leaving investors holding expensive infrastructure that consumes more than it produces in measurable economic terms today. In 1987, Nobel laureate Robert Solow famously noted that computers were visible everywhere except in productivity statistics. Solow's comment highlighted a discrepancy between technological presence and economic utility. This observation mirrors current skepticism regarding artificial intelligence infrastructure. Today, Goldman Sachs chief economist Jan Hatzius echoed this sentiment, stating in an interview with the Atlantic Council that AI investment spending had basically zero contribution to the U.S. GDP growth in 2025. Analysts like Joseph Briggs argue that intuitive narratives about investment prevented deeper digging into actual economic outcomes. They suggest this narrative obscured the reality of what was happening within the sector. The disconnect between massive capital allocation and tangible macroeconomic registration is not a new anomaly but a historical constant in technological transitions where spending precedes output. The National Bureau of Economic Research studies on the 1973-1995 productivity slowdown provide further structural evidence for this lag. This period is often referred to as the productivity paradox by economists studying business cycles. During those decades, significant infrastructure spending failed to immediately translate into aggregate output gains because measurement frameworks prioritized hardware acquisition over efficiency metrics. Hatzius highlighted a similar modern distortion where U.S. Companies spend billions importing chips and hardware that offset investments in GDP calculations, while Fed Cent Louis economists estimated AI investments made up 39% of GDP growth. Jason Furman suggested information processing equipment accounted for 92%. Earlier, when U.S. firms buy equipment from Taiwan or Korea, the expenditure adds to foreign GDP rather than domestic growth, creating an illusion of economic stagnation. Despite technological integration, the distinction matters because imported chips mean the spending leaves the domestic economy entirely. This mirrors the historical data where capital intensity did not equal productivity until organizational processes caught up with new tools. Internet adoption curves from the late 1990s showing delayed economic impact further reinforce that visibility does not equal immediate value. generation of venture capitalists believe AI will achieve tenfold improvements, yet a survey of 6,000 executives found 80% reported no impact on employment. Executives across the US, Europe, and Australia participated in this recent comprehensive industry assessment. While tech companies like Meta and Amazon spend roughly $700 billion this year on data centers, the economic benefits remain obscured by the same measurement blind spots that plagued the dot-com era. Such capital intensity without corresponding output gains defines the current stagnation period accurately. The historical record suggests that the lag between infrastructure deployment and measurable efficiency is often a decade long, requiring a fundamental shift in how value is captured and counted by standard economic indicators. This spending frenzy has kept Wall Street buzzing and fueled a narrative that all this investment is helping prop up the economy. President Trump cited investment growth against regulation, but data suggests the engine runs on imported fuel rather than domestic output. However, unlike previous revolutions where domestic manufacturing eventually aligned with software adoption, the current reliance on imported hardware suggests the measurement error might be structural rather than merely temporal. You cannot measure value if your framework counts inputs as outputs. Jason Furman stated in a post on X that investments in information processing equipment and software accounted for 92% of GDP growth in the first half of the year. Meanwhile, economists at the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis similarly estimated that AI-related investments made up 39% of GDP growth in the third quarter of 2025. These statistics validate massive capital allocation, yet they fail to capture organizational efficiency. A recent survey of nearly 6,000 executives in the US, Europe, and Australia found that despite 70% of firms actively using AI, about 80% reported no impact on employment or productivity. The data shows we are spending billions while importing chips and hardware offsets those investments in GDP calculations. Policymakers face a similar blind spot regarding inflationary pressure. Mike Consell highlights that January PCE data reveals disinflation had stalled and reversed before the war with Iran. The problem existed before the energy shock, yet fiscal impulse from the One Big Beautiful Bill Act will be substantial in Q1. Bob Elliott notes that an oil shock is like the opposite of a productivity boom, putting the central bank on pause. If the Federal Reserve continues to track consumer price index inflation without adjusting for these technological inputs, rate cuts or hikes remain misaligned with actual economic health. The current method smooths over how much things have heated up over the past 3 to 6 months, ignoring the lag between spending and realized efficiency gains in the labor market. This shift in perspective is critical before the war spending for Iran becomes a large additional fiscal impulse. We must adopt new frameworks that account for intangible assets rather than short-term GDP. This requires Bureau of Labor Statistics productivity metrics revision proposals to accurately measure total factor productivity. It also demands clinical standards where Mayo Clinic AI diagnostic trials measure patient outcomes rather than processing speed. Brooks argued in his analysis that there is no single development in technology which by itself promises even one order of magnitude improvement in productivity. He insisted one must attack the essence of the work, not just the accidental parts. Current systems target the accidental, shrinking errors without solving the core problem. Brooks acknowledged that expert systems are part of artificial intelligence, which had its heyday in the 80s and 90s. He argued indisputably that if the accidental part of the work is less than 9/10 of the total, shrinking it to zero will not give an order of magnitude productivity improvement. Without measuring the essential value created, we remain stuck counting chips instead of cures, complicating the path to genuine growth. The Taylor rule would have the Fed raising rates assuming R* is 1% and NERU is 4.2%, highlighting how off-current policy might be. I wrote this down while looking at our garden plot. Plenty of lush, edible vegetation. It sounded like abundance to me, but I realized plenty isn't enough if you don't know how to harvest it sustainably. We treat AI infrastructure like that endless food source. Just because the data center is full doesn't mean the system is healthy. I asked for an ecologist to understand the land. Someone familiar with sustainable indigenous lifeways presented in asterisk braiding sweetgrass asterisk. Maybe we need economists who understand the work in the same way. We are counting inputs as if they were outcomes, just like counting weeds as crops. True growth requires measuring actual output gains, not just prioritizing the massive infrastructure spending we see. That's on the regular for today. Find the essay and sources at Inertia Podcast, pages, dev. Until next time, sources, https://gizmodo.com/AI added basically zero to us economic growth last year. Goldman Sachs says 2,725,380. https://ilia.sh/threads/out-of-sample-permutation-feature-importance-for-random, https://news.combinator.com/item, ID equals 47,386,284.